The challenge has been issued by the ladies last week. They said that they could memorize more scriptures than us men. Men, it is up to us to memorize more scriptures than the ladies. Today is James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, 4, and 5 was the bonus. And so make sure sometime this week or after class you give your verses to Brother Duffy. And at the end of class, we're going to tally it all up. Yes, ma'am? I'm sorry, it's 2, 3, and 4, and 5 is the bonus. I did text out an extra verse, and then I put, oops, it's only down to verse number 4, and 5 is the bonus. Now, if you did that one, we'll count that one as a freebie, an extra bonus, amen. So if anybody did 6, it'll be an extra bonus for you, and it'll count for your team. You can never memorize too much scripture. Amen. And so he said, man, I memorized too much scripture. Ah, come on. Really? Really? Amen. Yes, Ms. Dawson. The teacher, I can't do it. No, I'm not gonna enter. But Ms. Dawson, you can enter if you like to. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and open our Bibles. James chapter 1. We're gonna go 2, 3, 4, and 5. We'll read those. And we'll read 6 as well as the bonus, just in case anybody is daring enough to memorize 6 as well. Brother Hall has already told his wife he's going to do it. He's the man. He's going up to 7. Amen. So now the goal is we have to see who can memorize the most scriptures. There is a total of 3 months here. And so, you know, we're trying to see who can amass the most scripture memory in the 3 months that we are here. And yes, Jeff, you do count, so make sure you memorize some scripture too. All right. Amen. All right. James chapter 1, we'll say the reference, then read from 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Here we go. James 1, 2 through 6. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. James 1, 2 through 6. Our Father, as we get into our Sunday school discussion for the morning, bless now your word, Lord, as we dissect it and apply it. Help us to live it the way you would have us to. We thank God for the word of God that can direct us and lead us, Lord. Help us to discover more truths as we go through the area of temptation in our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's get you caught up here. We are in lesson number 5, dealing with temptation. Lesson number 5. And let me get you caught up as far as where we are at. Roman numeral 1, it's just talking about the greatest promise about temptation. Number 1 was the meaning of temptation. Roman numeral 1, the meaning of temptation. And we saw the word is translated in different ways. The word is translated different ways. Sometimes it means test, sometimes it means scrutinize, prove, examine, different things. We also saw B, the word is amoral or amoral, however you're going to say that, amen. The word is amoral, amoral. It's not bad or good. It can be either one, depending on the context that is there. Then we saw Roman numeral 2, the reasons for temptation. Why are you and I tempted? And what can be the result? And we saw A, to fulfill our flesh or fortify our faith. By the way, the devil would have you fulfill your flesh. God wants us to fortify our faith. Then B, we have the call to cause us to crash or conform us to Christ. The devil would love for us to crash. God wants us to be conformed to Christ. Then C, to destroy our pride and develop our patience. God definitely wants our pride destroyed, and we definitely need to have our patience developed. To develop our pride and develop our patience. Now we're in Roman numeral 3, dealing with temptation. And this one is escape from temptation. The escape from temptation. The escape from temptation. Roman numeral 3. Let me ask this question as we get started here. What are some temptations when facing trials? Because if you look at James here, James chapter number 1, notice what he starts off here. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ and the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So he's starting off already. The book of James is talking about the trials that you and I are going to go through. And by the way, we are going to go through trials. All that you live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're going to have these things that we go through. But then when you look at this, he's dealing with the trials as they come, the purpose of them and the reason behind them, what it's trying to do in our lives. Notice what he says down there in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So God's trying to get us worked. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Many of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. As we think about this question, what are some temptations what are some temptations when facing trials? Let's get some definitions here. Notice verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy. That word joy there means a calm delight or a gladness. I mean, when you go through trials, you have a calm delight or gladness. But the Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy or have some calm delight or some gladness when ye fall into diverse temptations. The word for fall means to be surrounded all around, much like when you go into the pool. And how many do cannonballs? Amen. You jump in, the water surrounds you all around. You are enveloped with water. And if you stay enveloped with water, what will eventually happen to you? You will drown. You are not a fish.
Yes, sir.
And so the word fall there means it's all around you. By the way, the rest of your life, there's going to be problems and troubles all around you. Sometimes they'll be greater. Sometimes they'll be lesser. Sometimes there'll be more space to breathe. Other times you just go and catch short breaths. So the word means to surround all around. So my brethren, count it all joy, have a calm delight or gladness when you fall or surrounded by divers or various temptations. The word there means to putting to proof or by an adversary or a testing by an adversary. And this is the reason why, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying or the testing or proving of your faith or your belief worketh patience. The word worketh there means to accomplish or to finish a work fully. So God is interested in accomplishing you fully or completing you fully. When will that happen? When you get to the camp with Andrew. Amen. No.
Yeah.
When we get to heaven. Okay. But he's working it now. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, is accomplishing or finishing what it needs to do. Patience. Patience is constancy or continuance or hopeful or cheerful endurance. How many of y'all have hopeful or cheerful endurance when you're running 5 miles? You're out there, you're running. When do you normally get happy? When you get your second win? Anybody else? When do you normally get happy when you're out there running? Ms. Dawson? When you see the end point. Normally when I see the end point, it's like I get a burst. Oh, yeah. Woo, boy. I start striding out. Get there quicker. Amen. Normally you get cheerful when you see the ending point. How many get cheerful in the beginning when you got to start off? It's kind of like, do I have to do this really? You know, it rains and I have to start up the treadmill. And I just kind of look at the treadmill like, can you walk for me? Please. And I get on the treadmill. It's kind of like, man, I don't even want to push this start button. When can I be again? But boy, I start on that treadmill, and I'm halfway done, and I start seeing the end. I think, wow, I'm almost done. Praise God. And so he's talking about when you and I are facing trials here, because the whole book of James is dealing with how to navigate through trials. He says, knowing this, the trying of your faith is going to work your patience, going to give you some constancy, it's going to give you some continuance. What continuance or hopeful endurance basically is he looking at? Well, basically the next time you go through another trial. Amen. And you can look back and say, you know what, last week wasn't so bad on the treadmill. Last week's walk wasn't so bad. Last week's run wasn't so bad. I remember getting there and, man, it was all over. And so each trial prepares you for the next one. And so it should give us this this hopeful endurance, or this cheerful endurance. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. Perfect means completeness again. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. The word entire means complete in every part. Wanting nothing. Wanting means lacking. So wanting nothing. So God is really telling us in these verses here by way of James that when you and I go through trials, we need to expect them and allow them, because they are going to help us to get better for the next trial and the next trial and the next trial. And don't get upset when they're all around, because that's what it takes. Normally, if there's just one trial right here, I can normally handle that one pretty good, can't I? But what if I've got another one behind me? Then what have I got to do? Now I've got to reach back here. Now what if I got another one over there? Now I've got to put up a foot. Now if there's one back here, guess what? I can't put this foot down without picking this foot up. And what happens? I can't handle this. And so what do I have to do? Call on God. And that's the whole purpose behind trials. Oftentimes when they are coming from God, is to get you and I more dependent on God. And that's why sometimes he's got to surround us, because some of us are more stubborn and prideful than others. Yeah. Some at the first sign of a trial, God help! Yes, sir, God. Others, I got this, God. Yes, sir, God. I got this, God. Another one, I got this one too, God. Then that other one comes, you're thinking, I don't have this one, God. And you got to start calling on the Lord. And so oftentimes we don't recognize how much we really need God when trials come up. So knowing what James is talking about here, notice what he says down in verse 5 then. Because the goal here is, if you're going through a trial and you don't know how to deal with it, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, what kind of wisdom is that? Wisdom through going through trials. Yeah. Let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally or generously, and upbraideth not. He's not going to chew you out. And it shall be what?
Given.
So we can honestly say that when the trials come, we can ask God to help us navigate it. And what is his promise? He'll help us navigate through it. Will he do it your way or his way? And that's what stumps us most of the time. He does it his way, and we don't like his way sometimes. Amen. Verse 6, he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. In other words, if you're going to ask God, then trust God and accept God's way. Don't try to go your own way. Nothing wavering. If I do waver, what happens? For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea. How many of y'all been in a boat before? How many of y'all been in a boat when the sea's been rough? Water's been rough. And where do you go? How many of y'all get seasick? Got to take that Dramamine.
Yeah.
Amen. It's calm your stomach. He said the person that wavers or goes back and forth and vacillates between man's way and God's way, he says, is going to be like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he should receive anything of the Lord. God has under no obligation to give you anything if you're not going to use what he gives you. So knowing about this verse, these verses, 2, 3, 4, 5, the temptations that we're going to face, what are some temptations that come to mind when we're facing trials? What are we tempted to do when we're facing trials oftentimes? Give me some input. Ms. Dawson. Complain. That's number one on the list. God, why me? Why now? Why here? Why ever? Complain. Yes, Ms. Dawson. Or Ms. Chuckley. Get angry or frustrated. Why did this have to break now? Why did I have to run out of gas here?
Yes.
Why did these clothes have to get dirty now? Why did the dishwasher have to break down now? Why did this have to happen now? Normally, we get frustrated and angry. God, why? And oftentimes, God is putting you in a predicament where you've got to depend on Him. What else? What are some other temptations we're facing, trials? Joy? Looking for an end. Okay, God, it started right now. It's over, right? Yeah. God, you're joking. This is a dream, and I'm going to snap my finger. I'm going to wake up on the count of three. One, two, three. Okay, I didn't wake up. This is still a dream. I must wake up again. Let me pinch myself. I'm still awake. This is not happening. Amen. We want it over right away. What are some other temptations we're facing, trials that we come up with? Oh. Forget about God and His promises and His power. Did He get me out of the last one? Yes. Did He help me when the last car broke down? Yes. Did He help me when the last thing broke? Yes. Did He help me when the last money shortage came? Yes. But that was then. This is now, God. This is where we normally go to. What are some other temptations that we normally face when falling trials? Y'all said several of the ones that I have listed here. How about this one? Brother Neil. Devise our own schemes, amen. And we do this one, right? And then we develop another one. And then we get the third one. And then God says, okay, we're going to do the fourth one. Fall flat on my face. What else? Many of you are missing one of the obvious ones that many of us contemplate, but few of us do. When trials come. Ms. Dawson? Quit. Many of us contemplate it. I quit. I quit. I just quit. Some of you actually do it at work. I quit. I don't need a job. I quit. There's too many problems. I quit. I hate y'all. I hate this job. I hate everything about this place. Amen. I quit. Let me find a better job. Now, many of us think about it, but we think, if I quit, where else am I going to go? Amen. Where's my bread going to get buttered at? Amen. But quitting is the normal thing that all of us contemplate first. I quit, or I don't need this. Amen. And by the way, we didn't need it when God gave it to us. We need it. That's why He gives it to us. To help our endurance, to help our continuance, to help our hopeful or cheerful endurance, to help us out. That's why He often gives it to us, because He knows we need work in that area. Amen. But quitting is normally the first thing that comes to mind. I've got down cutting corners, as Brother Neil said. We kind of devise our own plan, complain and murmur, like Mrs. Dawson said. Cry unfair. God, somebody else should have this, not me, is one thing. Blame shift. It's your fault that I have this trial. Amen, is another one. Anger, frustration, any others that we normally, when a trial comes, this is what we normally think of. Amen. Andrew out there in Colorado, when the children have to get their electronics taken away, what do they normally say? Not fair. I want it back. Amen. I quit. I'm going home. Well, the next nearest place is how far away? Hour and a half. Yeah, have a nice journey. Amen. You got to walk, and there are lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my, out there. Amen. Brother Hall? Get bitter. Amen. That's one that I didn't have down. Get bitter. Sometimes we get bitter at trials. Amen. That's awesome. Take it out on others. My children, my husband, my wife, my boss, my coworkers. Amen. And these are all good. By the way, does God want us to develop and do any of these? No. That's why it's written, my brethren, count it all joy. Have a calm delight about yourself when you fall into divers temptation, when they're surrounding you. Why? Knowing this, the trying of your faith, the testing or the proving of your faith is going to work your patience or your continuance or your constancy or your hopeful or cheerful endurance. But let patience have her perfect work, or her completing work, that she may be perfect or entire, wanting or lacking nothing. God knows this, and James is writing this down under inspiration. He says, now, if you lack wisdom in going through this, then ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and He upbraideth not, and it shall be given. He says, now, if you've got this situation, ask God. He put the situation there. He can help you navigate through it. But oftentimes we don't do that. Amen. So with that said, we're dealing with Roman numeral 3, the escape from temptation. Escape from temptation. By the verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's turn over there. gives us an assurance that we can handle the temptations with God's grace when we fall into it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. We can handle the temptations that we face with a promise here. Notice 1 Corinthians 10:13. Read that with me together. Here we go. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with a temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. A couple things here. There hath no temptation. The word temptation, that means a putting to proof or an examination by an adversary or an adversity. And then he says, it's common to man. So all of us are going to be tested in the same way. But notice it says, but God is faithful. The word faithful, that means trustworthy. Can we trust God? Yes. He says the temptations are there. It's common to man, but God is trustworthy or faithful, who will not suffer or permit or allow you to be tempted or tested above that ye are able or what you can handle by the grace of God. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape or exit, that ye may be able to bear it. Able means possible. Bear it means to undergo the hardship. Or it means to bear from beneath. So if you look at that word, bear it, it means that you are going to have it and it will be up here and you are under it. Now, how long can I go with this chair on my head? Can I go on a treadmill like this? I could. How long would I last on a treadmill? Not long. What would I need? Put it down. Amen. Putting it down is not an option. I can't put it down. So what's going to happen then? I need assistance. That you may be able to bear it. Bear it means to undergo hardship or to bear from underneath. I need somebody then to come alongside me on the treadmill. Who might that possibly be? Brother Kelly said he's not volunteering. I need the help of God. I need the grace of God. Because sometimes God is not going to give you an out, but he will give you continuously his grace. Sometimes you're not going to have an exit. Sometimes you're not going to have a way out. And God's going to say, I want you to bear this from underneath. You think of people that have chronic diseases and chronic illnesses. They don't have a way out. They've got to bear it. And God's grace is sufficient. So he says, whatever it is, whatever the temptation is, I'm going to give you a way to bear it. Sometimes I'll give you an escape, but I will always allow you to bear it or to undergo the hardship or to bear from underneath. By the way, when the architects build buildings, they normally build most buildings with a door with a sign says EXIT. What does that mean? It's the way out. That's the way out. If there is not a way out, what do I need to do? Pray to the Lord. Amen. I've got to pray that whatever is in here that won't allow me to get out, I can get through. Amen. And I can endure whatever it is. Amen. Because God's not going to always give you an exit. Sometimes he just gives you his grace. But is his grace sufficient?
Yes, it is.
It is. If it were not, then he would have been a liar. But he is not a liar. Amen. And so God gives us the grace that we need. The book here says, just as the architect designs doors, our Almighty designs, perfectly designs each trial with a way for you and I to bear it. He doesn't just leave us in the temptation with no survival whatsoever. He purposely places what we need and what we need most to endure or to bear it. Amen. So let's come down to first verse, number A here, because this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, is going to provide several things. First of all, a weapon during battle. A weapon during battle. What does this verse specifically provide? A weapon during battle. By the way, are we in a battle?
Yes.
Are we in a battle every day?
Yes.
24 hours a day?
Yes.
Is there a day that the adversary is not going to come against us?
Yeah.
It's going to come against us every day. Most of y'all get defeated in the morning when it's time to wake up. The alarm clock goes off. What do you say? Yes, count it all joy. No, you say, cursed clock. It hit it, snooze buzz, like, what time is it already? You know, the worst thing for me is when I wake up like 2 minutes before the alarm is going to go off. I hate that. I wake up and I look at it like, oh, I can't even go back to sleep for another 15 minutes. It's like, oh, really? Then the second thing is when you wake up and your wife wakes up at the same time, she rushes to the bathroom, you don't get a chance to get there first. I got to go all the way downstairs. That'll wake you up. I don't even want to go back to bed now. I'm awake now. Amen. A weapon during battle. Look, notice Ephesians 6:12. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got to go all the way downstairs to the bathroom now. It's too early for that. Notice what it says there. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The word wrestle there means to engage in battle, to throw down and hold down by the neck. Anybody ever wrestle? What's the object? They got to get you down and pin you, right?
Yeah.
And they have to keep you down for a certain amount of count. And once the count is up, now you lose.
Yes, sir.
So the goal is to get this guy and to grapple with this guy and to get him in some kind of way where I can get him thrown down, keep him down. And back in the days, they held their hands on their neck. Why did they put your hand on your neck? It's hard to maneuver. And what else can you not get through your neck? Air. And what do my muscles need to operate?
Air,
oxygen. My blood is in the oxygen. No, my oxygen is in the blood. I'm sorry. Amen. And so if I'm, why do you think back in the day they say cry uncle? Say uncle.
I can't say uncle.
And so this is what the devil is trying to do against us. He says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not what you see or who you see. He said, but it's the rulers of the darkness of this world, a demonic spiritual leaders here led by Satan against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against principalities, a ranking structure, against powers, delegated authority, against rulers of the darkness of this world, led by Satan against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're not wrestling against. We're not wrestling against each other. And so this verse then provides a weapon during battle. It lets me know that God's going to give me what I need when Satan comes against me, because I know we like to blame it on flesh and blood, don't we? It's easier. It's easier to blame it on mom or dad or sister or brother or aunt or uncle or preacher or teacher or boss or, you know, employee. It's easier to blame it on somebody else or camp counselors. Amen. You took my phone. If it wasn't for you, I could play whatever I play. Fortnite. But now I can't play it because you took it from me. And your wife is an accomplice. She supports you in this evil. And they got to blame it on somebody. But the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers. This is organized evil. And so you and I have a weapon during battle. Now, every time we're tempted to sin, we can meditate on 1 Corinthians 10:13 and know that we've got a way to handle it, or a way to deal with it, or a way to bear this, because we can through God's help. Amen. No matter if it's worry, whether it's anger, pride, selfishness, or whatever it is, if we have these thoughts, I want to quit, I get angry, I complain, we can look and say, okay, I know I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. I know it's against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness. I can't see the evil that is here that I'm facing, but I know it's there. And I know that God's grace is here as well, and I can get through this. And so this verse provides a weapon during battle. But then this verse also provides a nurse during surgery. A nurse during surgery. My mother was a registered nurse for many, many years. And my sister was a registered nurse and still is right now. My other sister is a OBGYN doctor. And so I know about nurses. Right before surgery, what does the nurse normally do? Let me put it this way. Who normally gives you more information, the nurse or the doctor? The nurse. What does the doctor give you? That much information. We're going to cut you here. You won't feel a thing because we're going to sedate you and come back and see me in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You're thinking, okay, is there more you can tell me? Oh, the nurse will tell you the rest of it.
Yeah.
Who normally tells you? The nurse tells you the most. What does a nurse normally do when you go in? Pretty much everything. You do. Calm you down, get you prepped. Sister Faye's a nurse. Faye, what do you got responsible to do within your limits there? When somebody comes in as a nurse? Oh, okay, amen. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Who went to school longer, the doctor or the nurse? The doctor. Who does more? The nurse. Who gets paid more? The doctor. Who spends more time with you? The nurse. Who gets all the big bucks? The doctor. Wait, is something wrong with that picture? I've got here the nurse. She gives you the IV. She takes your blood pressure. She takes your pulse. She gives you your meds. Normally, she comforts you. And this is the thing that I like when you're going for a surgery. It's always cold in there. I say, can I have a warm blanket? And she'll bring me a blanket. And she said, do you want another one? Yes. And I put another blanket on. Can you give me something to cover my bald head and stay warm? And they just, man, they go over backwards.
Yes, they do, Pastor.
You ask the doctor for something. They say, nurse, can you get that for them? The doctors spend very little time with you, but a nurse during surgery, when you go in before surgery, it's the nurse that gives you the comfort. It is the one, she's the one that gives you the questions to answer. She's the one that goes in between you and the doctor. And so this verse is a nurse during surgery because nurses are often the unsung heroes in the medical field. The doctors do the work. We understand that. They've got the expertise, but she's got the common practice of what you really need. Amen. And oftentimes, if the truth be known, she sometimes knows more than a doctor. Amen. Perish the thought. Amen. But sometimes they know more than the doctor. You know, that's scary when they know more than the doctor. And she's had less school than the doctors had. Amen. So they do all of the prepping and they answer all of the questions. It says that the nurse might remind you of the purpose for surgery. She might explain what's going to happen afterwards, how you're going to feel. She may say, if this happens or that happens, call the doctor who will tell you to go to the nurse first anyway. Amen. She gives you the comfort that you need. She calms you down. She tells you, I've seen this before. It's not that bad or whatever the case may be. Now, of course, they can't give you certain information, but this verse is that to you. It gives you that comfort. It gives you that assurance. It gives you the practical side of things that although I'm going through this, everybody else is also going through something too. And although I'm going through this, God is trustworthy enough. This nurse is trustworthy enough to help do things right. Now, a nurse is perfect. No, they're not perfect. Amen. And I know if you like me, I'm allergic to pain. Amen. So normally when I go in there, she said, do you have any allergies? I said, yeah, I'm allergic to pain, so don't hurt me. Amen. Don't stick me any place. Amen. But they're not perfect, but this verse is perfect for imperfect situations because the situations that you and I go through, we're going to think they're imperfect situations, but they're just right for you and I. And so is this verse because God is faithful. God is faithful. And so a nurse during surgery, then lastly, a shelter during a storm. Oh, second to last. A shelter during a storm. A shelter during a storm. By the way, what shelter do you need when a storm comes up? Covering? What else do you need when a storm comes up? Most of us just think get inside, but there's more to it than that. When a storm comes, what do you need? Flashlight, amen. Yeah. Warmth? What else do you need? Building? Somebody says sleep.
Yeah.
How about this? What about lightning? You need some protection from lightning. Dry clothes. Hey, how about this? High ground. Hey, When I was a child, we had there was a creek that ran down through town, and we lived down by the creek. And the creek rose one time with a lot of rain and a storm. And guess where the water went when it overflowed the creek? It went to our house. But then there was a hill that went up. Guess what happened to the people up on top of the hill? They were fine. Because not only did we get creek water, we got the rest of their water that came down. And guess where it all came? To us. And you know what we cried? Who said unfair? Unfair. We got creek water. We got their water. And so the shelter from the storm, we got all of that. And we needed high ground. Sometimes when the storms of life come, you and I need the high ground. And God can give us that high ground that we need. Amen. We need umbrella. We need boots. Amen. We need different things. By the way, how about this? You know what we didn't have when the flood came? When the storm came? Guess what we didn't have? Flood insurance. And what did we have? A flood. So we went to the insurance company. Guess what they said? I'm sorry, sir. You don't have flood insurance. But I got regular insurance that covers regular things. This is not a wreck. This is a, see this thing right here, natural disasters, floods, tornadoes. Well, what good is my insurance then? Washer was done. Dryer was done in the basement. Heater was done. Had to get all cleaned out. Everything in the basement was cleaned out. Y'all don't know. I mean, know what a basement is. Okay. Some of y'all, a basement. What's a basement? It's when you go down below the house. Amen. And so a shelter during a storm, what do you need in a storm? You need all these things because the situation that you're going through, you don't know. By the way, you may feel as though no one else has dealt with your particular situation or no one could understand the hurt or your pain, and you may be right, but guess who does? God does. Because we look at the verse, such as is common to man. Well, you're not going through anything I haven't gone through. Yeah, but you're not me. You're not me. I went and talked to my friends. Man, we got flooded. They said, oh, yeah, man, we had some rain, too. No, there's a difference. We got flooded. Y'all just had rain. And guess what? I'm the only boy. Guess who had to do all the cleaning? All right. I said, so no, you didn't go through the same thing I went through. I had to shovel mud out of my basement. That is unheard of. God would not allow you to face a storm that others have not also faced and emerged victoriously. However, they are not you, and you have to trust in the God of heaven. Amen. And the last one there, this verse provides a friend during a crisis. A friend during a crisis. Someone that you can turn to for counsel when tough times come. By the way, the Bible will always be a counselor to you, give you the truth of what you need to hear, not so much what you want to hear. So a friend during a crisis. This verse is a timeless promise, a faithful friend, a timely comfort, and a constant reminder that you and I can always count on when it happens. Is this a well-known verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13? It is. But many don't take the practicality of it and apply it to their lives when the trials come. Oftentimes, we don't see the trials as a friend, but we see them as a foe. And God means trials to be friends and not foes. A friend during crises. Ultimately, as we go through temptations, the single fact that should give us comfort is that Jesus Christ knows how we feel. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. We're going to end with these two verses here. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. These are going to be our memory verses as well. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. Jesus Christ himself knows how you and I feel as we are going through temptations, and therefore we can call on him and we can count on him. Notice verse 15. Let's read that together. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Those are going to be our memory verses because God knows what we are feeling when we're going through it. Jesus Christ walked this earth. And so he knows, according to this verse, what we are feeling and how we are feeling it. He didn't give in to a temptation. We oftentimes want to, and we can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, help me. I don't know if anybody understands how I feel right now. I don't know if anybody really understands what I'm going through right now. I've tried my best to talk to my husband, my wife, my children, my best friend, this person or that person, but I don't think they really know how I feel. Lord, I know you know how I feel. Boldly to the throne of grace, we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are we going to face temptations? Yes, we are. Are we going to face trials? Yes. Are we going to think they're unfair at times? Yes. Are we going to want to quit sometimes? Yes. Are we going to complain and murmur? Yes, 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 and yes. But we know that God's going to give us the ability to bear it. And he's also going to be there when we need to talk to him, because he knows, according to this verse, what we are going through, and he made it through. Don't get disheartened. Don't get discouraged. And when you do, tell God about that too. Tell him about that too. I'm discouraged. Lord, I want to quit. Lord, I'm discouraged. Lord, I don't like this anymore. Tell him. You know, perhaps, I don't know, maybe the Lord felt like quitting sometimes. I know he said, if this cup can pass, let it pass. He didn't want that. But he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou. He said, no, I would rather not have to do this. Sometimes we would rather not go through the temptations that are surrounding us. But we've got to trust that God knows what's best. I don't like him any more than you sometimes. But I do know I have a God that I can turn to at any time, any day, any hour, and get the help that I need. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 for our memory verses for next week. The refreshments next door. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll be dismissed, and we'll start up with lesson number 6, keeping fellowship with God next time. Father, thank you for the encouragement that this verse gives us and provides. That, Lord, the greatest promise about temptation is that we know that you understand and that you are meaning it for our benefit and our blessing, and not that it might be a burden. Lord, we thank you for the things that we're experiencing now, the things that we'll fall into as far as diverse temptations. And Lord, strengthen us through each one. Help us to be able to bear underneath it and bear through it. Sometimes you give us an escape. And Lord, whatever the situation that you provide, help us to take advantage of it, not waver in what we think, but Lord, trust you for it. Bless our refreshments next door. Thank you for Andrew and Joy being with us today. Pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in our next hour. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Make sure if you're quoting verses, get with Brother Duffy sometime today or this week. And you are dismissed.